Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
So with the holidays over and Omicron surging, how are you feeling? It's all right if you say not so great, even if you and your family are healthy and not in dire straits. Some people might call it the blahs or a feeling of indifference. One term for it caught on last year, and that's languishing. Robin Young spoke last February with Corey Keyes, a sociologist at Emory University, who coined the term languishing, and she asked him if he was surprised that people are talking about it now.
Yes, I was, in large part because I've been publishing on this research since 2002. Apparently, it took the pandemic and the shutdown of life as we knew it to bring greater attention to it.
Right. Well, what is languishing?
Well, languishing is, as you mentioned at the outset, it's not the presence of depression or sadness and hopelessness. It's the absence of feeling good about your life, that is either happy, satisfied, or interested in your life. But it's also the absence of meaning in your life, such as lacking purpose, belonging, a sense of contribution, and a sense of mastery or the ability to manage your life. So languishing is emptiness and stagnation.
Mm. But it's still hard to kind of figure out the difference between this indifference and depression.
Technically speaking, depression is a clinical disorder precisely when nothing in your life has changed that is of importance. And all of a sudden, you've gone from feeling interested in life to being sad, along with a variety of signs of malfunctioning, like you're sleeping too much or too little, and you were interested in life, and now you're thinking about suicide, among other things, and a sense of hopelessness. So depression is the presence of malfunctioning and the presence of sadness and hopelessness. Well, languishing is neither feeling good nor sad. It's feeling really nothing.
Yeah. Indifferent.
Yes. And I was going to say the French had a term for it. The existentialists called it ennui.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned this, Professor, because I once had student friends who were in a student orchestra that played in New York, and they were getting a review in the New York Times, and the New York Times said they played with ennui, and I got so excited. I thought it was some famous violinist or something. What is ennui?
Well, ennui is, I think, the French version of languishing. It is indifference and emptiness. Throughout history, I mean, it goes way back. There used to be an eighth deadly sin called acedia, defined as a want of interest in life. This emptiness or lack of interest in life led people to distract themselves with, shall we say, unsavory things. So it got folded in to the sin called sloth. Most cultures lost awareness of it.
So a want for an interest in life. Is this then the reason that this is not melancholy, you know, from the Victorian era, the sort of, you know, sorrowful, sad, I need a fainting bed? That sounds like more like depression, where you can feel sadness.
And I've been there myself, having suffered from depression. When you're feeling depressed, you don't really want to get out of bed. What happens with languishing is you get up, you go through the motions. You're ready for life. It's almost like you put yourself on hold and you're waiting for something good to happen, or you're even trying to distract yourself by jump-starting the good old battery that I call emotion, which is to feel something.
Yeah. Well, why is it so important for us to know about this word and these feelings and acknowledge them? I can hear someone saying, oh, get over yourselves. You know, this is an American privilege to consider your languishing with your back of your hand to your forehead. Why is it not that to you?
In part because my research has shown that the absence of things like mental disorders does not mean anything close to everyone flourishing or having good mental health. And those people who are in between, they're not flourishing, they're not mentally ill, they have a very high risk of suicide attempts, they have a very high risk of developing depression and anxiety. We've even shown that these people who are languishing have a very high risk of premature mortality. And that gets even more serious as we grow old.
Well, and so what do we do about it? Because there are things you can do. And I started realizing, you know, I can't get to my yoga class, but I can go edit. And when I edit, you know, work with sound, I am engaged. I'm like, I feel it. I feel something happen.
I have that hunch that I wasn't alone where I started engaging throughout my home in projects and learning new things. And when I was at the hardware, I noticed there were a lot of other people taking on self and home improvement projects. And I thought that was a sign where people were doing what they could to do for themselves and engage and learn something new. It may not have caused flow for everyone, but I suspect it was an attempt.
Mm. Is just saying the word helpful? It's so serious in some cases. You know, there were studies that show that healthcare workers languishing last spring were 3 times as likely as their peers to have post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, let me make a bit of a plea. We've been working on this domain to try to redirect the national attention on the problem of mental illness. My research has also shown that, you know, that mental health and mental illness belong to two distinct continuums. And as I mentioned, that means the absence of mental illness does not mean everyone's flourishing. But another implication of it is that the things that we use to lower the bad, like depression or anxiety, do not necessarily elevate the good, things like flourishing. Hmm. Cholesterol is a great example. When we have high levels of bad cholesterol, we take statins, and statins do a good job lowering bad levels of cholesterol, but they do not elevate levels of good cholesterol. And in order to get the best heart health outcomes, you need low levels of the bad and high levels of the good cholesterol. The World Health Organization's prediction that depression will be the number one cause of burden to every country on this planet will happen by 2030. Mm. But that's a prediction that doesn't have to come true if we change the way we approach the problem of mental illness and stop trying to treat our way out of it.
And when you say treat our way out of it, you mean with medication and such? In other words, we need to find that engagement, that flow first.
Yes. Well, the usual response is, well, let's try more medications. Let's train more clinicians and psychiatrists. And let's provide more services. And there's nothing wrong with that. But no public health problem throughout history has ever been solved through individual treatment alone. What we've had to do is move upstream, look at the conditions under which we live and how they prevent mental illnesses or physical illnesses. And that requires reimagining the conditions of life. Mm. And mental disorders are not curable. They're chronic, unrelenting disorders. Believe me, I suffer from two of them. Mm. And nothing the medical doctors and all the king's men and women could do to put this Humpty Dumpty back together again.
You had to do it. You had to find the way to flourish?
Yes. Yeah. My own research has been my own personal search for my North Star, which is I want to flourish, because we've also shown in a paper we published about a year ago that if you've had a mental disorder and you have higher levels of good mental health, you're more likely to recover and to stay in recovery from mental disorders. So it not only prevents, but it's something that also could be useful to people who have suffered from mental disorders, like myself and others.
That's Professor Corey Keyes, sociologist at Emory University, who coined the phrase languishing, which many people feel they are doing right now. Professor Keyes, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me, Robin.
Robin spoke with Corey Keyes last February. And we want you to know that if you're having thoughts of suicide, you can call the suicide hotline to talk with someone at 1-800-273-8255.